He's an operative in terms of his dominion. Through the death of Christ, his dominion, Satan's dominion, has been shattered. That through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death. That's the devil. Tremendous. This is great.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today you'll be continuing in your series from the book of Hebrews.
That's right, Dave, and today we're in a wonderful passage that reveals that Satan has been rendered impotent, that he is a toothless lion, that he has lost his power. And what am I talking about? Well, let's turn our Bibles together to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, you can't always take both parts of a word, butterfly, butterflying through the word. You know, but here at work, it just helps us understand it. He gets between. He separates. Revelation chapter 12 speaks of his names. In the middle of the tribulation, we'll see in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan battles with Michael the archangel and his angels, and Satan is thrown out of heaven once for all. And there's a praise that goes on in heaven. I want to read this. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old. You're going to see all his names. That points to the garden. This is craftiness and deceiving Eve, who is called the devil. The great dragon speaks of a monstrous reptile, a monster. Satan, that means the adversary. Have you ever had an adversary? Someone who at every turn is against you, who is looking for any way to mess you up? I've had adversaries, but we all have an adversary, and that's Satan, by the way, who deceives the whole world. He's a deceiver. He was thrown down to earth. His angels were thrown down with him. Amen. Now, this is the middle of tribulation. If you're a believer, you're going to be in heaven with here, I believe. And we're going to see this. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and power and a kingdom and glory and authority have come to his Christ. Have come for the accuser of our brethren. That's what he does. Accuse. Has been thrown down and who accuses them day and night before our God. And they overcame. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, they did not love their life even to death. We know from John 8:44 that he is a murderer and a liar. John 8:44, Jesus speaks of the Jews who thought they were their father Abraham, which they were not. He says, you are of your father the devil. That's your spiritual father. That's who you're related to. And you want to do the desires of your father, Jesus shares with those Jews who didn't believe. He was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, by the way, he doesn't always speak a lie. He uses them very craftily, by the way. Speaks some truth and puts some lies with it, right? Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We know from 2 Corinthians 11, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And so do his servants. Don't be naive. We're not ignorant of his schemes, 2 Corinthians 2:10. He uses sin to get a hold of believers. Sin such as unforgiveness. You don't want to give Satan a place. Paul said forgive, unless you give Satan a place or give an advantage. He also uses sin such as being angry and not giving it over to the Lord. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger or your paragasmos, your irritation, unless you give Satan a place. And here from our passage, we're going to see that he uses sin and death as his tool to exercise dominion over mankind. Take a look at our verse again. So since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself will likewise also partake of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, that's a bad translation. The Greek is present tense. Him who has continually, habitually the power of death. He still does. But he's going to render him powerless. And you say, well, what's the power of death? What's death? Well, death's an awful concept. It speaks to this very basic reality of separation. Physical death, separation of the spirit from the body. Spiritual death, separation from God because of sin. Eternal death, the second death, separation from God and punishment forever. It is the lack of life. No God, no life. When the first responders come to a scene of a car accident and there's someone there, they don't check for signs of death. They check for signs of life. No life, dead. If you don't have the life of Christ in you, if you're not a true believer, you are dead spiritually. You see, the wages of sin is death. And it's because Adam rebelled, we experience spiritual death. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Paul affirms this universal truth. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Sin, disobedience to God's revealed word, is the cause of death. Physical death ultimately related to the fall of mankind because of Adam's sin, disobeying God, right? Rebelling. Spiritual death, separation from God because of sin. Eternal death, separation from God and eternal punishment because of sin. So how does Satan, how does the devil here, the throw through, he uses the term here, obviously, the devil, so he wants us to see him in this light here. The throw through, the one who divides, the one who gets in the middle, right? How does he have the power, or kratos, that's dominion, of death? How does he hold that, continually habitually? Well, this word power, in Greek, kratos, speaks of power in the sense of dominion. When someone has the power, that's one thing, but when they have the power in the sense of their dominion, you recognize that. They have complete control. They have dominion. So how does Satan exercise dominion via having the power of death? How does he do that? He uses death to dominate. You see, thus his dominion over the human race is found in the form of death. How does he do that? Well, first of all, Satan understands that God requires death for sin. He knows that all died in Adam, that death entered as a principle. And he wants to hold all men and women in the realm of spiritual death until they die. And then they cannot escape God's righteous judgment, and they will enter the second death, which is eternal death. In essence, the devil uses God's righteous judgment against us because of our sin. Thus, death is his tool. Death is his tool. So what happens in our passage? That through death, the death of Jesus, he, Jesus, might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. What does it mean to render powerless? This is an interesting word. Katargeo. It speaks often of making something useless by a superior thing or force. Making something useless by that. It speaks of rendering inoperative, nullifying. Now, the New King James translates destroy, and I would say the result is destroying, but that's not what this word means. Okay? It means to abolish, to be done away. You'll see that in other passages, to be done away. Think about this. If I was to render the engine inoperative on the car, then the car no longer drives. It's destroyed in the sense of being a car, right? It can't fulfill its purpose. That's one of the reasons why the New King James says that they might destroy. But how he's destroyed this is through rendering him inoperative or useless. You see, Satan is rendered powerless in the context of his domain over death because Christ conquered death. So he has no power anymore. He has zero power. He's rendered useless. It's impotent. He's inoperative in terms of his dominion. Through the death of Christ, his dominion, Satan's dominion, has been shattered. That through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death. That's the devil. Tremendous. This is great. 1 John 3, second half, verse 8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How did he destroy it? Rendering him powerless. Praise the Lord. Since Jesus conquered death because of sin, because he bore our sins in his body on the cross. We'll see this later on. He's the propitiation for our sins. Since he conquered death, Satan can't use that anymore. Isn't this wonderful? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. We don't have to sit around and be wimps. We have power, love, and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, Paul says to Timothy, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted in us in Christ Jesus for all eternity, but now has revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle teacher. That's what should be preached. So much other junk being preached. There's so many peddlers out there. Paul says, this is what I'm preaching. Jesus abolished death. Praise the Lord. Peter says in Acts chapter 2 that they had nailed him to the cross by the hands of godless men, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. For it is impossible for him to be held by its power. You see, Satan can hold you in the power of death because of sin. But Jesus Christ was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Impossible to be held by death. Spotless Lamb of God who died in our place. Isn't that great? Thus, his power is shattered. His dominion is shattered. Praise the Lord. John 8. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, 8:51, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You'll never see death for sin, eternal death, the second death. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it because you are set free. We're going to see it in a minute. We're loosed. We're set free. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death to life. This is great. We're going to sing about this, about how death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this perishable, that's this running down body, must put on imperishable, that's eternal, right? And this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on imperishable and the mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rising from the dead, Jesus smashed the devil's dominion of death. Remember, Jesus has the keys to death and Hades, not Satan. Revelation 1:18. Jesus, through his death, brought about the death of death. So let me ask you this. Are you spiritually dead? Is there an absence of the life of God in you? Are you a slave to your own desires, reacting endlessly to fill the void? Well, good news. Jesus came to die, freeing us from the reign of death and the bondage associated. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And what about believers? We fall back into patterns of sin and death. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death. I still got this old body of death hanging out. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the next verse, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, right? Praise God. Christmas is about the death of death. Death is done. And its dominion over man because of the defeat of Satan, because of what Christ did. Now notice, his death also delivered us from death's reign and its enslaving fear. We're going to see what this means. Verse 15, and might deliver those who were through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And you go, okay, what's that saying now? It's important to notice that the term that through death, middle 14, is modified by two phrases. That through death he might render powerless. We just saw all that. We learned that, right? And that through death he might deliver. Those are two things. The term deliver here, apolasso, is a great word. It means to set free. It means to release. It means to liberate. You ever see those prisoners liberated in World War II? How happy they are. We are liberated here. That's what we're going to see. But what is he pointing to? Now, we know we're liberated from sin. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. We know that. But there's some elements of the whole understanding of how Satan uses death that connects to all this. He's going to point to a certain specific that we're liberated from. He says that he might liberate, might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. What's he talking about? Speaks of a continual action in the past that they were subject continually, habitually, being held in tight control. That through death he might liberate those who were, through the fear of death, all their lives were continually being held in tight control to bondage. Okay, what does that mean? It appears that it seems like the sentence is that through the fear of death they're in tight control. And that kind of troubled me, bothered me. That only, is he just saying that people fearing death, that holds a bondage on him and he's delivered just from that fear? Well, yes, but is that really the whole thing? Because some non-believers are very unfearful of death. You know, you have those dumb evil songs, don't fear the reaper, things like the evil, wicked things. They don't fear death at all. They're very blatant in their wickedness. So how is that inserting bondage on them? It's like, okay. Well, what helped me was the way this is phrased in Greek. You can translate it fear of death or death's fear. You say, what does that mean? Well, hopefully I'll be able to explain it. Do you remember when Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually? We got the whole video of it in Scripture, right? Okay. And what happened? Initially, there was a sinful fear that runs away from God and hides and covers up and gives excuses. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Go right back to the beginning. You want to know what sin brings about? Man tries to redefine it all in light of all of man's issues, this and that. Just read the Bible. You don't need to be a scholar to understand these things. And by the way, God hides it from the smarty pantses. You know, you got to humble yourself. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man, said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Fear. You see, we've all experienced the reign of death that sin brings. Shame, and then a self-effort to rid the shame, and then guilt with fight or flight, hiding from God. Instead of confession, more blame and cover-up, all arising in sin. And we try to find fulfillment in our own desires. There's always guilt. There's always shame. There's always that lack of peace and contentment. And instead of confessing, we turn away from God. You see, sin holds us in bondage, and Satan uses death's fear, our sinful response to our sin, by the way, which results in more sin and more dominion to tightly exercise control over us. Sin controls you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:17, for if by the transgression of one death reigned through the one. Romans 5:18, so then as through one transgression resulted condemnation of all men. Romans 5:19, for as through one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Romans 6:21, therefore what benefit are you deriving from the things you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:6, for the mindset of the flesh is death. You see, we are subject to the consequences of death and sin. We're subject to it all our lives. But guess what? That through his death he might deliver those who through fear of death are subject to slavery all their lives. He might liberate, set free. Set free those who are subject to slavery. Slavery to sin. And you say, well, I'm not controlled by death's fear. I say, oh, really? Sometimes on two levels. One, physically, just go on a plane flight, you might be thinking about it. Could I die? Certain situations arise in your life, and it's in life or death, you're going to have some fear. But on a spiritual level, man is continually enslaved to the sure signs of spiritual death, which are restlessness, lack of contentment, anxiety, fear, being enslaved, man tries to fill the void. The devil always has his anesthesia, sex, alcohol, drugs, man-made religion, anything to fill the void that death and sin has caused. But Jesus died to liberate us from the slavery of sin and death. Praise the Lord. So let me ask you, are you a slave to God or a slave to yourself, your sin? If you're a slave to your sin, good news. Jesus died that you would be liberated. Turn to Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Set me free, and you'll be set free. And then for those of us who are believers, we kind of bond ourselves up here and there with sin. Go to Jesus, confess, be set free. Christmas is about Christ Jesus taking on human flesh, living the perfect life, dying in our place, rendering Satan powerless who had the power of death, and liberating us from our slavery to sin and death. Isn't that great? One pastor shares, praise God didn't just throw a Bible down and say, figure it out. God sent his son into the realm of human existence to live the perfect life and die for our sins. What more could you reject this, the most incredible act of love, sending his son to be like us, to die for us, to save us? If you reject that, there's no excuse. You're worthy of judgment. So if you are in Satan's domain, you can be set free by turning to Jesus. He will set you free. The Son sets you free. You are free indeed. And if you're a believer and you've put yourself back in bondage, you need to go to Jesus. Confess that, but he will set you free. Now notice the last thing in our passage, which is really great. It has to do with the Lord helping us right now. He came to help us now. Verse 16. For assuredly, he's going to explain, he does not give help to angels, but gives help to the sons of Abraham. Now, remember, the argument in this book is he is saying that Jesus is superior to angels. He's superior to angels being God. He's superior to angels being the Savior who took on human flesh. And guess what? He assuredly doesn't give help to angels. They're lower. He gives help to man. See that? He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. You go, okay, what's that? Well, first of all, this term gives help is an interesting word because there's two different parts here, and this is good to see and understand. It means to take firm hold, to grasp or seize someone, to help them, to grab them, to help them. And who does he help? He helps those of faith. He doesn't help angels. He helps literally the seed of Abraham. What's the seed of Abraham? We see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, in this context of the New Testament, it is those who are in a relationship with the living God through faith. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. He gives help to believers. That's what he's saying. The seed of Abraham are believers. Now, a true Jew is a Jew who is a Jew and is saved. But all believers are of the seed of Abraham, the one in whom his seed, all the nations, will be blessed. You believe in Jesus, you're blessed eternally. It is Christ who helps those who are of faith, those who he delivered from Satan and death and from their bondage to sin. He doesn't help those who are dead in their sins. He liberates them. He helps those who have been freed. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the sinner of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren. Remember, since the children share in flesh and blood, he had to be made like us in all things.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we heard today, the work of Jesus on our behalf is the ultimate outcome of his coming to earth as a baby.
Yes, it is. And as we've seen, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom. And what a wonderful sacrifice we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we could be set free from sin and death. Okay, well, we finish our passage tomorrow, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.